You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to a new episode of the Locked On Clippers podcast. I'm your host, Lucas Ann. Today is Friday, March 31st, 2017. It's the final day of the month, which means that I have to pay rent tomorrow. So it's a good day. We're here with our last episode of the week. We're here every Monday through Friday, which means that we'll be back in a couple days with a new episode, but because it's our last episode of the week and we've got the weekend coming up, one thing that we're going to make sure to do today is run through the relevant games in the upcoming weekend for the Western Conference playoff race. First things first, though, let's talk about the Clippers' win over the Suns last night. They won 124-18 in Phoenix. It was, you know, it wasn't the Clippers' most impressive win, only beating the Suns by six. The Suns aren't a great team, but on the second night of back-to-back, with the starters having played big minutes on the first night, Blake Griffin played 40 minutes last night and 38 tonight. Chris Paul and DeAndre Jordan, I think, were at 37 and 38 last night and 35 each tonight. It's really good to see them still be able to bring it. And I think now we're really starting to get into what you consider a little bit of the playoff rotation with, you know, Blake is going to have to play big minutes because the one area where the Clippers don't have depth is power forward. At center, even though DeAndre Jordan is going to play a lot of minutes, Mo Spates is a quality backup center, and he's a guy who could potentially have a hot shooting performance and win you a game in the playoffs, like Austin Rivers has done in years past. On the perimeter, even though none of those guys are really a small forward, Felton, Crawford, and Rivers are all going to be playing big backup minutes behind Paul Reddick and Lucas Mbamute. Blake's the only guy who doesn't really have a backup. Paul Pierce is not good enough to be playing in the playoffs. Brandon Bass and Wesley Johnson haven't played well enough this season to earn playoff minutes. Mo Spates can really only be used next to DeAndre Jordan in really, really precise situations. So you're looking at probably the best option for backup power forward is playing a three-guard lineup and moving Luke Mbamute to the four, which hopefully is what Doc Rivers will do in the playoffs instead of playing Paul Pierce. But these big minutes are going to become normal for Blake. 40 minutes one night, 38 the next. I think in the playoffs he'll probably play 40-plus minutes every game as long as the game is close down the stretch and he's not resting at the end. But so it's kind of cool to see this team really look like the playoff team. And they're not as good as they need to be yet. They're not in perfect form. But after a kind of really depressing month of Clipper basketball, these last two games have been sort of a peek into what could be, or at least, even if the Clippers don't have like a magical run in the postseason, you know, winning a first round series against whomever they play and a tough fought second round series like we've seen in years past, it's good to know that they're at least starting to look like they'll be able to get to that level. Instead of, I know a lot of people have been really worried in the last few weeks that the Clippers are going to just get washed out of the first round in five games and just completely implode. It's starting to look like that's not going to be the case and that this team is going to at least put up a fight. Now, they still aren't where they need to be. You know, this isn't to shower the Clippers with praise. They let up 118 points to a really bad Phoenix Suns team without Eric Bledsoe. And, you know, the Suns aren't without offensive talent. TJ Warren is a good scorer. Devin Booker is a good scorer. And they've got some other young guys who have some upside, but you know, ultimately, Tyler Ulis shouldn't be having 16 points and 13 assists. Marquise Chriss shouldn't have 20 points on 9 of 13 from the field. If the Clippers are playing the type of defense that we expect them to play and that they played early in the season, these types of games aren't happening from players like Ulis and Chriss. And even a guy like Devin Booker, who is a very good young offensive player, he had 33 points and 9 assists on 13 of 22 shooting. When I saw the Clippers and the Suns play in person early in January, the Clippers did a much, much better job on Devin Booker. He had, in that game, 13 points on 4 of 15 from the field, 2 assists, and 3 turnovers. Again, in this game, he had 33 points on 13 of 22 from the field, 9 assists, and 3 turnovers. So he was able to get to his spots more and get more shots off. He scored more points. He had more assists. He played an all-around much better game. And while part of that can be attributed to that the Suns have nothing left to play for, it's the end of the season, and that Eric Bledsoe is out and he's getting more touches, you still have to really look at it like the Clippers have to play. But if the Clippers are going to let John Wall score 41 last night and Devin Booker score 33 tonight, what is that first round series against the Utah Jazz going to look like? What's Gordon Hayward going to do to them in seven games? And then when you really get going in a potential second round series against the Warriors, if they're letting up 33 points to Devin Booker and 41 points to John Wall, what are Klay Thompson and Steph Curry going to do to them? The defense isn't where it needs to be. But what's nice to see is the offense, because it's felt like, you know, maybe it's not necessarily best for the team, but it's far more fun to watch the Clippers win 124 to 118 than to watch them win 94 to 88. Because the offense looks good. You feel like there's a good rhythm and a good pace to the game. Now, what they really should be doing is winning games like this against the Suns 124 to 88 and really blowing them out of the water. But especially on the second night of a back-to-back, you'll take the win. That said, you still need, you know, we're going to need to see more defensively from these Clippers in these last five games as they get ready for the playoffs. And hopefully they'll get there. You know, they're playing with a little bit of spunk. There's a little bit of chippiness on the court. Tonight's game was kind of weird and low energy because you're playing in Phoenix and the team knows the season is over. The fans know the season is over. But there was still a little bit of chippiness at times in this game. You know, the Clippers didn't show up and walk through the motions to win this game. And so you kind of hope the defense is going to come along in the next few games before the playoffs get going. That would be nice to see. Now, there's one game tonight that matters for the one other game tonight that matters for the Western Conference playoff standings. That is Houston visiting Portland. Right now, as I record this at around 1 a.m. Eastern time, there's still about 4 minutes left in that game, and Portland is leading Houston by two. I went ahead and recorded this podcast without knowing how this game ends because it's not especially important to the Clippers, but it is rather important to the race for the 8 seed because any team that's behind Portland that has a shot, and I think the two teams that have a shot are obviously Denver and then New Orleans, they need Portland to lose some games because Denver has a really tough schedule and New Orleans has a lot of ground to make up. This is one of the most losable games on Portland's schedule against Houston. So if Houston is able to win this game, the door stays slightly open for New Orleans and Denver. If Portland wins this game, it's kind of like a dagger in New Orleans' hearts, and Denver, you know, Denver's job just gets that much harder. They need Portland to now lose a game to a team like Minnesota. But we'll see how that, by the time I get done walking through the upcoming games of the weekend, we'll see how that game is looking in the closing minutes. So now we're going to talk about tonight's games, Saturday's games, and Sunday's games regarding just the Western Conference, the playoff picture in general. So Friday first, Memphis is hosting the Dallas Mavericks. Dallas is kind of officially out of a playoff spot, even though they haven't been mathematically eliminated. Their loss to New Orleans the other night all but iced it. Memphis should win that game, but fortunately for, you know, the Clippers and Thunder and Jazz, Memphis right now is 3 losses out of that battle. They're 3 losses behind the Clippers and Thunder and 5 losses behind the Jazz. So it's starting to look like Memphis is going to end up pretty solidly at the 7 seed. And it's more of a battle for 4, 5, 6 between Utah, LAC, and OKC. That said, it would still be nice to see Memphis lose the game and just give the Clippers a little more security. And on the other hand, if the Clippers were to decide that they wanted to tank down to 7 and play the Spurs in the first round, Memphis losing more games makes that an impossibility. But I don't think that's in the cards for the Clippers. I don't think they're considering it. I don't think they should consider it. And that's that. New Orleans hosts the Sacramento Kings on Friday night. That's a pretty much must-win game for New Orleans. Every game is a must-win game for New Orleans, basically. They're going to have to win out and get major help from Portland and Denver in order to secure the 8th seed. So New Orleans, you know, any loss for New Orleans is near fatal. I think CBS Sports ran a projection. They ran 10,000 simulations, and New Orleans made the playoffs in 20 of the 10,000 tries, which means like there's a little bit of a heartbeat there, but they're not alive and well. If they lose one game, that 20 number turns to zero. They're not going to make it. So they basically need to win out and get help. San Antonio is visiting Oklahoma City. This game actually matters a lot less than one might have thought it would matter a week ago. Because San Antonio lost that head-to-head game against Golden State this week, they're basically locked in at the 2 seed. They're not going to pass the Warriors, and they're not going to fall behind the Houston Rockets. So what really matters is, does Oklahoma City win or lose? And how hard is San Antonio going to play knowing that they don't have anything on the line? Because right now, Oklahoma City, even though they're behind the Clippers by 3 wins, are tied in the loss column with the Clippers. And in a 3-way tiebreaker between the Jazz, Clippers, and Thunder, it would actually put Oklahoma City at 4, the Clippers at 5, and Utah at 6, which is super bad for the Clippers because they want to play Utah in the first round. And they want home court advantage in the first round, so they'd have to play their less preferred matchup, the Thunder, and they'd have to go on the road to Oklahoma City for games 1 and 2. So obviously, we're rooting for San Antonio in that game. The Utah Jazz are hosting the Washington Wizards. Again, Utah is 2 losses ahead of the Clippers right now. We're rooting for the Jazz to lose. The Clippers have the tiebreaker, so if the Jazz... The Clippers have 5 games left. The Jazz have 7 games left. If the Clippers go 5-0 and the Jazz go 5-2, the Clippers will get home court advantage. It's pretty much that simple. So we need the Jazz to lose a couple games for the Clippers to get home court advantage. And then Houston at Golden State is the nightcap of the ESPN doubleheader on Friday. That game actually doesn't matter at all. The only chance that it has of mattering is if Golden State goes on like a losing streak in these last couple weeks and San Antonio passes them, because San Antonio is only 3 losses out. But that seems really unlikely to me. I think Golden State is pretty much a lock for the 1. San Antonio is pretty much a lock for the 2. And Houston is definitely a lock for the 3. So this Houston-San Antonio game actually doesn't matter, even though it may have been seen as a potential big-time marquee matchup. Now, on Saturday, the Clippers are hosting the Lakers in an afternoon Staples Center matinee. That's a pretty much must-win game for the Clippers. Again, trying to, you know, hold off Oklahoma City and catch up to Utah. You got to beat the bad teams. That's why it was important that they beat Phoenix, even though it required big minutes on the second night of a back-to-back. It's important to win this game against the Lakers as well. And Portland hosts Phoenix on Saturday. Again, that's a game Portland should pretty easily take care of, but any Portland bad loss, a bad loss to a team like Phoenix, significantly helps out Denver and possibly New Orleans, the 2 teams that are hunting to catch them. Now moving on to Sunday's games. Oklahoma City is hosting the Charlotte Hornets. It's a game that Oklahoma City should win, but Charlotte is probably better than their record, even though they won't make the playoffs. And it's definitely a losable game for Oklahoma City, even though it's a game that they should win. It's not like it would be shocking for them to lose that game, and it would really, really help the Clippers. Memphis is in action on Sunday, visiting the Lakers. It's a game that the Grizzlies should win. Utah is playing at San Antonio. If San Antonio shows up to play in that game, San Antonio basically could really help the Clippers this weekend. If San Antonio beats the Jazz on Friday, or excuse me, beats the Thunder on Friday and the Jazz on Sunday, they'll pull the Clippers within 1 loss of the 4 seed and give them a 1-loss buffer for the 5 seed. If San Antonio takes it easy and rests their guys and doesn't play to win either of those games, then they'll be giving the team directly ahead and directly behind the Clippers each basically a free win. So we're rooting for San Antonio to definitely win both of those games. New Orleans is hosting the Chicago Bulls. That's actually a little bit of a tough matchup. Chicago has a lot to play for right now. They're in 9th place in the East, 1 game out of that 7th place tie between Miami and Indiana. But it's a, like I said, every game is a must-win game for New Orleans if they want a shot at taking advantage of a possible Portland losing streak. The Golden State Warriors are hosting the Washington Wizards, and the Houston Rockets are visiting the Phoenix Suns Sunday night in the last two games of the day. Again, those games don't really matter because Golden State and Houston are basically locked into their positioning. So that's a rundown of what's coming this weekend in the Western Conference. And then we'll check in on Monday and see, basically, we'll run through quickly those games that I just detailed and see how they ended up. And we'll see how it affected the standings picture. Right now, the Clippers, like I said, are two losses behind the Jazz with the same amount of wins, and three wins ahead of the Thunder with the same amount of losses. The Clippers only have five games left, which might be the fewest in the league, but it's definitely the fewest of the teams in that grouping around them. And so they'll have a chance to get some good rest. They only have one road game remaining at San Antonio, and it's possible that they don't even send their guys to San Antonio. So we're looking at a scenario where if the Clippers can get to that four seed and secure home court advantage and they rest that game in San Antonio, they might go into the playoffs not having left Los Angeles for 2 weeks and starting the playoffs with two home games. That second round matchup against the Golden State Warriors is going to be looming over them, but as far as maximizing your chances of pulling off that upset, you can't ask for much more than getting hot, being rested, being healthy, and playing at home. And the Clippers right now are looking like they're starting to play a little better, and hopefully we see this trend continue for the next five games, and we can say going into game one of the first round that they're hot. Hopefully Utah drops some games, and we can say the Clippers are going to be able to play at home in the first round. And then if they can take care of that series easily, they're going to maximize their chances to beat the Warriors. Whatever that chance is, and it's small, they're going to be able to maximize that chance if they're hot and healthy and rested. That's all you can really ask for at this point with where these two teams are in their progression, and especially with the kind of season that the Clippers have had, where it seems like everything that could go wrong has gone wrong. With that, we're going to call it an episode. Thanks for listening, guys. This is it for our week of the Locked On Clippers podcast. Like I said, we'll be back next week with new episodes Monday through Friday. If you have any comments, questions, or feedback, you can tweet at me at Lucas J. Han, or you can email me lhan.clipsnation@gmail.com. Feel free to check out the Clips Nation blog at clipsnation.com, follow on Twitter at clipsnationsbn, and like us on Facebook by just typing Clips Nation into the Facebook search bar and clicking like. If you're a fan of the show, please subscribe on iTunes and leave a good review. And thanks for listening. This is Luke Stan signing off for Locked On Clippers.